The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the rock show? Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks!
Hello, and welcome to SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Jade to the Max. How are you, Jade?
Fantastic.
Yes, I know.
How
you're
are you?
I'm doing well. I know you're over the moon because last Sunday was the start of football season, and Mitchell Trubisky, against all of your doubting and naysaying, pulled it out for you in the fourth quarter.
Let's be for real here. My imaginary boyfriend Jimmy Graham pulled it out.
Well, somebody's got to throw him the ball.
Well, it's about time he finally got him the ball. It only took three quarters. Actually, three and a half quarters, because they didn't start scoring until there were like 3 minutes left. And we also have to give credit to the defense for that pick in the fourth quarter.
Yes. And the young man on Detroit who dropped the clear game-winning touchdown.
Yes, I would like to thank him as well. I don't even know his name, but thank you, sir. You are appreciated. He did the Lord's work.
DeAndre Swift, I think, is who that was.
Ah, that sounds familiar. So many players are out this season because of COVID that I don't even know who's playing these days, except for the Bears. So, but I will say, before we get into SmackDown, I am a little concerned and scratching my head at the Tariq Cohen extension for $17 million. Like, Tiny Tot does know how to run up the field. So, I mean, he just runs horizontally, and I don't know, he's scared to get hit. Like, you're going to get hit, buddy, but I know he's little, but I'm just really scratching my head at the $17 million 3-year extension. But then again, that's what Ryan Pace does. He makes us scratch our head.
He's like your second best receiver.
Tariq Cohen?
Yeah.
That's because we don't have any receivers.
Exactly. So he's worth $17 million, not because he can run the ball, because he can catch it.
He's a running back. He should be able to run.
They use running backs differently these days, Jade. That's why Adrian Peterson doesn't play for Washington anymore, because he can't catch the ball as good as some of the younger guys we got now.
I mean, Adrian Peterson's been in the league for quite a while.
Yes, he is. He is.
You know, I would say for, you know, someone who's been in the league as long as he is, he was running over us last week.
Yeah, he's still good. He could still play probably another two years.
Yeah, I agree. So I got nothing but respect for AP.
Good luck to your Bears this week as they take on Danny Dimes and the New York Giants.
In a trap game?
Yeah. The Giants are going to probably be a little bit better on offense, maybe not make as many turnovers. But their defense doesn't look all that good. So Mitchell Trubisky might be able to do a little something. Him and Allen Robinson hook up early and often.
Man, I love Allen Robinson. I just hope he sticks around. I saw all the talk about his contract talks this week, and hope they do right by him.
Well, we will see. We will see. Good luck to your Bears this weekend.
And good luck to your Washington football team today against Kyler Murray and them Cardinals.
Yes, it's going to be a tough game. Kyler Murray is going to be running around all over the place. But hopefully Chase Young can chase him down a couple of times.
I see what you did there.
So we're going to start with this week's SmackDown with The Miz, John Morrison. This episode of The Dirt Sheet. They've got some gossip for us. They say tonight they're going to expose the truth behind Bayley. Reveal the reason why WWE management tried to erase Sammy from history. They also dig into the Samoan family that holds secrets Jay tries to hide. And he says Miz has the hot goss, as he says, and he wants to talk about the departure of Mandy Rose. So we had to talk.
Where did Mandy go?
Raw. She got traded. No, she got traded to Raw.
For who?
Undisclosed person.
Oh, Lord. Why'd they do that to Otis?
Well, this is why. So we head to Talking Smack last week where The Miz dropped some breaking news. He says he is not playing mind games with Otis and he is not trying to get revenge. He's trying to help Otis. He knows the pressures of the contract and knows Otis must be looking for every opportunity possible, and Otis couldn't do that. So he sent Mandy away, and now Otis can focus on cashing in. He says, or he could give it to John Morrison. John Morrison says, Miz says he sent away the one true obstacle Otis had. He says he will get over it, and for what Miz hears, Mandy already has. John Morrison brings up Dolph Ziggler and how they used to date. Otis
they
comes.
Messy. They are messy.
That's why it's called a dirt sheet. Otis comes out with his lunchbox and his briefcase. He rushes the ring, takes the Miz down. He clocks John Morrison. He sends the Miz out of the ring. Then he sends Morrison out of the ring. Then he uses some chairs. Miz tries to escape through the crowd, but Tucker is there to stop him and send him back into the ring. We get a T-bone suplex from Otis to the Miz. He gives one to Morrison and throws him to the outside. We get a splash in the corner to Miz, followed by the caterpillar, and then we get the big splash off the top rope to the Miz. Otis grabs the pants of the Miz and rips them off to expose the Miz and his tidy whities. Morrison tries to cover up the Miz with his jacket as they run up the ramp. Backstage, Morrison tells Miz that he doesn't think his plan is working, while Miz says that this is all a part of the plan. In comes Kayla, asking if Miz regrets pissing Otis off. Miz gets a phone call. He asks, did you see it? Is it enough? The Miz smiles in, you know, an evil fashion, and they leave the interview position.
Tidy
whities. Yes, yeah, old school wrestling right there.
It's a good thing he didn't have any like skid marks in his drawers.
I'm pretty sure those were fresh out the pack.
Fresh. You're not gonna embarrass Maurice like that on national TV. Got them thinking she don't do laundry, which we know she probably doesn't.
Grand Metalik faced off against Cesaro. Metalik goes to the top. He tries for a moonsault, but Cesaro gets the boots up. After that, Cesaro hits a running uppercut, followed by the neutralizer, and Cesaro gets the win over Grand Metalik. The true story in this match, though, Kalisto and Lince Dorado were on the outside trying to, you know, both manage Grand Metalik, and they were arguing up on the apron, and the referee threw them out. So more conflict for the Lucha Underground. Or excuse me, Lucha House Party.
They need to stop teasing. Ain't no tag teams left, man.
They're slowly breaking them down. Slowly breaking them down.
Especially the Lucha House Party. They're tiny.
As in stature?
Yeah, they're like little. Where they gonna all go to 205 Live?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
There are no tag teams. Everybody's either injured or out because of COVID. Vince needs to stop playing with us.
Kayla's backstage with Jey Uso. Tonight, he teams with Roman to take on Sheamus and Corbin, and this time, it's in a Samoan street fight. She wants to take us to last week when he fought the same team almost on his own. Jey says that Paul Heyman told him last week that was a miscommunication. Tonight, he trusts Roman has his back. He says, tonight won't be any different than when they were kids. And he says, come class of champions, one of them will have the title. He says, Roman's been throwing his weight around since they were little, but they're not little anymore. And then he mentions taking on Sheamus and Corbin later tonight.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, Jey is super hype right now.
He's going to take Roman to the Uso Penitentiary.
Alexa Bliss is here. She's all smiles. She welcomes Nikki Cross to a moment of bliss, calling her her best friend. Nikki comes out. Alexa congratulates her, but she has some questions. Nikki is ready. What's her plan of action? She says she must do something different because Bayley has beaten her before. Nikki is shocked at the question, and she wants to tell Alexa and the entire universe why this is different. There'll be no Sasha Banks at ringside. She said every time she's faced Bayley, she needed eyes in the back of her head, and now she can just focus on giving her the beating that she deserves. She saw what Bayley did to her best friend, and she can still feel the chair that was on her back last week. Bayley was so proud of that. There was so much contempt in her eyes. She says if Bayley wants to take cheap shots, fine. Become class of champions, Nikki will become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Alexa is satisfied with this answer, but Nikki has some questions for Alexa. She asks her what's going on. Alexa Bliss is confused. Nikki brings up last week where Alexa hit her with Sister Abigail, then just walked off in the middle of the match. Alexa says she can't explain it. She doesn't understand it. There's a change. She can't control it. And Lacey Evans interrupts. She makes fun of the girls having an emotional moment, then calls Nikki a nasty thing and tells her she should be on her knees thanking Alexa because when she walked away, she threw Lacey off her game. Maybe she's doing the same with this promo. Lacey says Nikki isn't prepared. Bayley has something Nikki will never have, a mean streak. She's too nice, too short, and too weak. Nikki turns to Lacey and says Nikki will never beat Bayley. Nikki takes her hanky, blows her nose on it, then tosses it at Lacey. Lacey goes down to pick it up, and Nikki attacks her, and Nikki fights her towards the ring as they have their match next.
That Lacey Evans is something else.
Yeah, she's always interjecting herself.
And by something else, I mean annoying. Like, her character is just really annoying. I mean, I guess that's the point. But, yeah, she messy, too. Just messy.
Dollar General Liberty Bell from GLOW.
Nah, she Dollar Tree. You giving her too much credit. Actually, she underneath. She Family Dollar. You know, there's a hierarchy of dollar stores. It's like, right, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, and then Dollar General's at the top of the food chain.
Right, right. Nikki Cross versus Lacey Evans. Drop to hold attempt from Lacey, but Nikki blocks it. Nikki hops onto the top rope. Nikki with the tornado DDT. She holds on. Nikki hits the purge, and she gets the win over Lacey Evans.
Whoop, whoop. Way to make her look strong. Going into Clash of Champions, next week?
Yes. This was actually a fairly good match until Lacey Evans broke out the hand sanitizer and rubbed it in Nikki Cross's face.
Like, yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah. No.
Alexa Bliss was on commentary, so after the match, Lacey crossed over to the announce table. She yells at Alexa, asking, what is she looking at? What is she going to do? Get the Fiend? Alexa goes into the comatose state. She leaves the announce table and gives Sister Abigail to Lacey on the outside.
Is her Sister Abigail as good as... Well, of course not, because Bray Wyatt originated it, but... I'm ready for her to be on the Firefly Funhouse.
It's coming, ever so slowly.
They need to come on with the come on. They rush everything else.
They're trying to do long-term storytelling, and people are now like, oh, they're taking too long.
Yeah, because remember, they used to rush the storylines. I guess now with COVID, Vince got to stretch stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I do like the slow build of this. It's very Bray Wyatt-esque.
Yes, yes. We get a video package of the famous families in the WWE, the Flairs, the Harts, the Ortons, and the Hennings. Paul Heyman brings up the Anoa'i family, including Yokozuna, The Rock, Umaga, Rikishi, the original Wild Samoans. We see clips of Roman as a child in the arms of some legends, and he says that this is his birthright. Heyman says Jay has done a respectable job, and he gives him some love. He says they were cousins who may as well have been brothers, from the living room to the football field to the square circle. The battle of the bloodline will be fought with honor and pride, but make no mistake, they may all feast at the same table, but there is only one ruler in this dynasty, and he is the tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
Okay, Ragnar Lothbrok. I've been binge watching Vikings, so. I'm on season 5.
This was really good. Great use of the old footage to show the heritage of the Anoa'i family in WWE in particular. They didn't have Rosie, though, who is
They should have had him on.
Who is Roman's brother.
Right.
But
he was a wrestler, but he wasn't like household name wrestler.
Right.
And he passed away. They should have included him.
He was a superhero in training.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like Ragnar versus Rolo. minus the betrayal.
So are you liking it? Are you liking it, though? The story?
Oh, yes. Vikings or
no, wrestling? No, Roman and Jay.
Okay, I was about to get into Vikings. I'm like, yes, it's so good. Yes, I'm glad they get. I am because now I'm sitting here thinking like, who else could he have gone up against that we haven't already seen 10 times over? So this is a good one. It's like brother versus brother.
I'd really like for them to have the Usos join Roman after this. And straight heel faction.
And while they're at it, just had the rest of them join too. Nia, Tamina.
Yeah, and just call it the Bloodline, and it's all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Everybody but Naomi.
Right. And then you can have the Bloodline versus the Hurt Business rivalry. SmackDown, like, so at Survivor Series, it could be like the Bloodline versus, like, SmackDown versus Raw, Bloodline versus Hurt Business. Look, Vince need to just go ahead and hire me. I got it all planned out.
We see a video package from 2 weeks ago when Bayley beat the brakes off of Sasha. Sasha is asked, what are the extent of her injuries? Sasha says, I'm still here, aren't I? Michael Cole brings up Bayley's reasoning, how she believes Sasha was being used. Sasha is nothing now, useless to Bayley. Sasha says she heard every word Bayley said last week, and she can't help but to be filled with emotions as she sits there at the Performance Center, a place they built together, where they trained together, talked about their goals. They used to walk these halls just to talk about everything they've achieved now. This whole summer, here, they showed the world and they told the world that they were taking over. Now she walks these halls and sees these girls that come here now, and they did that together. And all these rooms, all these pictures and posters of them, all that they've accomplished. They did all of this together. If only these walls in the Performance Center could talk. She says she came here this week to answer Bailey's questions. Does she think Bailey is some kind of idiot? Is she naive? She calls her out. She says Bailey is an idiot. She's very naive. She says Bailey is nothing without Sasha Banks. Nothing without her. Since she's useless to Bayley now, one day she's going to take the one thing that Bayley loves, that SmackDown Women's Championship.
Ooh, and I believe it. And she'll hold it for like a week before Vince puts it on somebody else. We know how he do Sasha.
Well, they kind of did this right. They didn't have Sasha like from her home. They had her in like a remote location in the Performance Center. She was wearing a neck brace. She wasn't looking very boss-like. Our boo was looking pretty rough.
With her wig laid, though.
Si, senorita.
Then she's a boss. She was looking bossy.
From the blind side, Bayley comes in and attacks Sasha from behind with the steel chair. She looks to put Sasha's neck in the chair again, but out comes some WWE personnel to stop Bayley and get her off the scene.
So, Bayley, listen, I'm here for heel Bayley. And she's like, I think she is peak heel right now. This is what we needed.
Yeah, she's healing it up on a different level right now, because I was just like, you know what? They better not have Bayley come in and attack. Bam! It's like, oh, man.
Just when you thought it was safe. They had Sasha and Witsec and Bayley found her.
Hopefully the next promo will be a more fired up, like, I'm coming for that ass Sasha Banks promo, and not just a kind of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, you know, you said I'm nothing, and, you know, she was hurt because, you know, her best friend turned on her. But it wasn't that, like, you know, real fiery promo.
Right. No, it's the slow build, Don. It's the slow build. See, she's going through, like, the stages of grief right now.
Yes.
So sadness and, you know, and then there'll be denial. And then once we get to anger and acceptance, oh, it's on.
Things that
mark
people,
my words.
Something that people don't want to accept is that Sami Zayn claims to be is the Intercontinental Champion, so he's going to face AJ Styles.
Great Liberator has acquired the target.
Went for the Huluva kick, AJ Styles, though. Scooped up by Sami Zayn. Shoulders are down. Two count. Did he get him? No, he's got the tights. And the official caught him.
I can't count that. Get out of my face. You can't be doing that. Count him like that.
And now Styles from behind. Rolling up Sami Zayn. Shoulders are down. Got him.
Here is your winner. The phenomenal AJ Styles.
I believe Styles was...
Both tried to cheat. Styles just did it better.
And Sami Zayn attacking Styles from behind and now barking at the official.
How did he help my tights?
I can't count that. No, I'm going to
do it. He helped my tights.
No, he did not.
Hey. Hey. Tell them I'm the champion still. That was non-title. Tell them. Tell them. Hey. Tell them who the...
Well, here's the real Intercontinental Champion, Sammy. Here comes Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy still noticeably limping, but ready for a fight.
And he just what
did AJ do?
And now Sami Zayn knocked down by Hardy, whipped into the barricade. Jeff Hardy upset after these wanton attacks by Sami Zayn over the past couple of weeks.
Jeff Hardy's a madman.
And he should be. He has every right to be.
The whole WWE Universe living vicariously through Jeff Hardy getting to beat up Sami Zayn.
Yeah, but Jeff Hardy now climbing a ladder in the middle of the ring. Hardy up to the top ladder. Sami Zayn wisely rolling out of harm's way. But there's a proud champion.
A proud champion? What's Jeff proud of? He came and attacked two superstars and just competed in a matchup.
I am sick and tired of this Intercontinental title situation. I am sick by being called a cheat. I am tired of being called a fraud. I say we end this once and for all. A Clash of Champions, Gold Rush, I'll fight both of you, but not in a normal match. Nah, we have to escape normal. In a triple threat ladder match.
Oh my goodness, I love the sound of that. Jeff Hardy, who's made a career living on ladders. Hardy, Zayn, and AJ Styles in an Intercontinental Championship match with ladders?
The possibilities are truly endless. We'll find out if it's going down at Clash of Champions.
AJ Styles with dirty underhanded tricks.
Does that count as a distraction finish?
Sure.
Okay, sure. I don't have a drink, but
mimosa at this time of morning.
I'll keep note of that for when I start making football breakfast in an hour. He did up the stakes, and we all know Jeff is the king of the ladder matches.
That should be a lot of fun. AJ and Jeff Hardy.
I think it's gonna be a good one.
On a ladder. Listen, with Sami Zayn.
I actually made, this might be the only match I watch at Clash of Champions. And I say that because football Sunday, so then be having to wait. But yeah, I might tune into this one live.
Well, we'll definitely enjoy you sharing your commentary with color using the hashtag Cast of Champions.
I might get back on Twitter just for this match.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And then disappear again.
And then disappear again.
Just make a cameo, peek my head in, be elusive.
Let everybody know, hey, I'm still doing well. You have a small window to check me out.
Yeah. It's like the Undertaker when he comes from under the ring and then disappears into nothing. Yep.
Otis is backstage with Tucker claiming he is sick and tired of the Miz. Then a dude comes in to serve him with papers. Tucker explains to Otis that he's being sued. So we come back from commercial break and Tucker is explaining the lawsuit. They want Otis to forfeit the Money in the Bank contract where Miz is taking him to court. He has 1 week to decide. Otis says, oh, Tucker, we're in trouble. Tucker then corrects him and says, no, Otis, you're in trouble.
Mm-mm.
It's like, you ain't finna drag me into this.
Mm-mm. What you mean, we? That's me. I'm that person. We? Excuse me? Us? No.
Backstage, Baron Corbin is showing off his scepter to Sheamus. In comes the security guard, and apparently Sheamus has been looking for him. The security guard is here to tell Sheamus that his car is being towed. Sheamus runs to see that it's Big E out by his car. Big E attacks Sheamus, telling Sheamus to run. After Sheamus gets out of the frame and gets away from Big E, Big E heads over to the security guard. Big E says word on the street is he's the one who set Big E up a couple of weeks ago. The dude tries to defend himself, but Big E sends him headfirst into a road box. He's beating the brakes off of this dude. Then Big E says, I don't know your name, so I'm going to call you Larry. Starts punching him and kicking him. He's like, you like that, Larry? You like that?
He is so country.
Refs run over to Big E, tell him to stop. Big E slaps the dude on the top of the car a couple of times. Then he hits a belly-to-belly onto the car. Big E says he ain't done yet. He drags the dude off the car, tells him not to sleep on the job. He sends the dude into the trunk. He says, this ain't enough for him. Big E says he ain't stopping. In comes Adam Pearce to tell Big E to leave. Big E tells Sheamus he better keep running.
Larry. No, you got it. His new name is Larry.
So for all the people who've been waiting for Big E to be serious, was that serious enough for y'all?
His name, he didn't change that man's name. I would say so.
Yeah, he was beating the brakes off that dude. Good stuff. I'm pretty sure Booker T was finally happy. We come back to the mysterious woman who is going to be debuting or re-debuting soon, getting dressed in front of a mirror. She gets zipped up. She looks into the mirror, turned, and then you can see like her forehead and some of her eyebrow. So it's still a mystery.
Ooh, I like mystery, but not when it's prolonged. So you need to speed that up too.
What is a reasonable amount of time for it to not be considered prolonged?
Well, it depends. If it's the weekly episodic show like SmackDown, Raw, a few weeks.
Okay. So maybe a month at the most?
Yeah. Unless it's like a Bray Wyatt storyline, you can drag that as long as you want to. I'm still going to be intrigued.
It's time for our main event. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Sheamus and Baron Corbin, Samoan street fight. Roman Reigns comes out first to say that this is his yard, his island, his ring, his WWE. If you want it, come take it from him. Sheamus locks up with Roman for white noise on top of the announce table. Roman elbows his way out. We get a low blow to Sheamus. Samoan drop onto the table, but it doesn't break. I am the table. Corbin punches Reigns in the face. Reigns makes short work of him. He sees Sheamus near the barricade, and he spears him through the barricade. Corbin sends Reigns into the steps. Jey flies out of the ring with a suicide dive. Corbin catches him. He sends Jey flying, then rolls Reigns into the ring. Corbin gets his scepter, but then Jey gets the Universal title and hits Corbin in the head. Roman follows that up with the spear. Then Jey hits the splash from off the top, and they get the 1, 2, 3. So Roman Reigns and Jey Uso get the win over Sheamus and Baron Corbin in the Samoan street fight.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, this was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't no AEW parking lot brawl or nothing, but it was okay.
I mean, it was a street fight, but I feel like it was more like a regular wrestling match.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a street fight. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, they did a little bit of what they could, but yeah, they could have like went to the back or something like that. They didn't do none of that.
Something.
Jey
fully utilized the Thunderdome. Get Vince McMahon his money's worth.
Right. Jey is incredibly happy for the win. He claps towards his cousin. Reigns sees his title. Jey grabs it. He pretends to hold it up, then tosses the title over to Roman. Jey continues to celebrate in the ring, then claps hands with Roman. Roman is all smiles. Jey leaves the ring, and he heads up the ramp. And Roman's face totally changes into the scowl. And everybody's like, oh my gosh. Jey Uso is going to get killed at Clash of Champions.
Roman Reigns, like that messy lady at church, just smiling your face. And then, no, what's the lady from In Living Color that Kim Wayans portrayed?
Oh, yeah.
Smiling in your face. Hey, Miss So and So. Now, I ain't wanting to gossip, but. Definitely.
Roman and these facial expressions towards Jay have been pretty good TV here lately in the past couple of weeks. So they've done a good job building this up, the story with Paul and Roman, you know, kind of playing Jay, and then they're going to wreck him. And I don't know how close Jimmy is to coming back, but maybe Jimmy comes in and be like, man, you know, we family. We ain't supposed to be doing this and doing that. And then that's when they all get on the same page.
Make everybody heal. All of them. Heal. Look, I am here. I've always been here for heal Usos and heal Roman. Let them loose.
Well, we're getting closer, at least with the heel Roman. So you're halfway there.
Yes. Let's do it. But not heal Naomi. No. Naomi is better off as a baby face.
Yeah, she's much better off as a baby face. So, Ms. Jade Zemax, is there anything else you'd like to add before I turn it over to you for your smack, thank yous and shout outs for this week's edition of SmackDown Matters?
No. Again, SmackDown continues to be the superior show. Really need Raw to cut it back to an hour. Cut it back to 2 hours. At least that's what Hulu does on the replay. You only get an hour and a half. They cut out all the extra stuff. The juicy stuff, too, at that. But, yeah. But yeah, Raw is they need to utilize Binky on SmackDown. I think Binky should do both shows. Just saying.
I think that they're gonna possibly wait till the draft to maybe get her up and going, or because Zelina Vega challenged Asuka this week on Monday Night Raw, Bianca Belair may step up and be like, "But hold up. I've beaten you a couple of times already. How are you going to get a title shot?"
When I saw that, I was like, who? Zelina challenged for who? Zelina, I can count on one hand a number of times Zelina been in a match.
She used to wrestle all the time in NXT.
Well, she ain't wrestling now.
Well, maybe that'll change here shortly.
She definitely is not the next in line for a title shot.
She doesn't think so. She thinks that she deserves a title shot, and she's put herself in the front of the line.
Yeah, okay, well, she either gone back to the back of the line like they do when you stand in line at the club, you walk up front, they're like, no ma'am, see this right here, this is the line. I mean I can't relate because I've never had that issue when I was clubbing, but I've seen it happen.
Listen to that flex, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I worked in the industry for a long time. So, you know, you meet people, you connect with people, then you don't have those problems.
Network. Get to know your bouncers and your doorman.
Exactly. Be nice to your bouncers, especially in Chicago, because it'd be too cold to be standing in line. Ain't nobody got time for that. And I used to always scratch my head, like, people are standing in line with no coats on. It's like 3 degrees outside. What is wrong? But you don't want to pay $3 to check your coat.
And risk having the worst cold in the history of cold and flu season after you come right out.
Flu, pneumonia, all rolled into one. Right. No. But yeah, I said all that to say Zelina need to get to the back of the line. Because if anybody is next, it's Binky.
Well, now for your shout outs and thank yous.
My shout outs today, I would like to shout out everybody on the Chicago Bears except Ryan Pace and Mitchell Trubisky. I would also like to shout out Don. Thanks for having me. Dee Dee, of course. I wished her a happy birthday last week. Our dear friend Dee Dee. I think she turned 23 again. My other WrestleCast ladies, Tatiana and Angelina and Laura. Oh, and Madam Lizette. Don't worry, girl. I'm coming back to Twitter. Don't worry. I'll be back. And Sam, of course, and Sam.
All right. Thank you, Miss J to the Max, for joining me once again here on SmackDown Matters. And you can find SmackDown Matters on the CSPN at CSPN.us. You can also subscribe to the WrestleCast feed through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is just search the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Subscribe to the show logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you'll get SmackDown Matters each and every week. Also, check out me and Miss Simi over on The Dark Match at patreon.com/CSPN Media. It's where we review AEW Dynamite. Give a shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese as he joined me once again this week as we talked about Monday Night Raw on the Rawcast. Also, the gentlemen over at The Push as they watched the original Clash of Champions. So, Shaolin Shogun, M.A., Mo to the underscore Reese, Benny, DJ Wants, and I'm having a brain fart as Dwayne. They all pitched in and watched Clash of Champions 1 watch along. So check that out as well here on the CSPN. Give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonet holding it down in the house that she built. Sam, Greg, everybody who listens to SmackDown Matters and all the shows here on the WrestleCast Network, thank you for joining us each and every week in the live tweets. Remember, every Friday night, hashtag SmackDown Matters to share your commentary with color with us. Continue to support the sponsors over on the CSPN webpage. Just click on the top of the screen that says keep our podcast free. Do some shopping with our sponsors to help keep SmackDown Matters and all the shows on the WrestleCast Network free each and every week. So for my co-host, Miss J to the Max, I'm your host, hey, Don DeLaRente. Thank you for joining us for SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Bye.
You know, last week we heard from Bailey, who blamed you for the attack, saying that you were just waiting for the right time to strike Bailey. That for years you kept her close, pretending to be her best friend. But all along, you were using her.
And now I'm nothing to her. She was using me, and now I'm just useless to her. I heard every single word Bailey said last week. Help but to be filled with emotions as I sit here at the Performance Center, a place that we built, a place that we trained every single day together, talking about our dreams, talking about our goals, talking about what we wanted to do together. We used to walk these halls just to talk about everything that we have achieved now. This whole summer, here at the Performance Center, we showed the world, and we told the world, that we were going to take over the whole damn company together. Now when I walk these halls, when I go to the locker room, when I see all these girls that come here now, it's because we did that together. I came here this week to answer your questions. You want to say that I think you're some type of idiot? That I think you're naive? Bailey, I know that you're watching this. And you're damn straight. You are an idiot. You are naive. Because you are nothing without me. Nothing without me. So since I'm useless to you now, one day I am going to take the one thing that you love, your SmackDown Women's Championship.